All right, joining us right now is somebody who is an MLB Network insider, an NHL Network reporter, an NBC Sports contributor. He is everywhere doing all things. He is John Morosi, and the MLB postseason is getting underway tomorrow, so you know I had to run him down. My guy, John, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I am outstanding, my friend. Thanks so much, as always, for the invitation. And what a great time of year do we have right now in baseball. Aaron Judge gets 62 this week. I was very honored to be there. And now a playoff round and a playoff journey unlike any we've ever seen gets underway tomorrow. I can't wait.
Well said. That's how you set that up. All right, so since you were there, John, let me ask you about Aaron Judge. How would you characterize not only what he did this season, but how he did it and the way he carried himself on and off the field during one of the most prolific individual seasons ever, all while rocking the storied pinstripes and doing it in a walk year?
Jim, it's an incredible American sports story. And when I reflect on what Judge has achieved this year, I think those two things, what he did on the field in the batter's box and the way he represents himself, the Yankees, the sport, they're inextricably linked. Because I think the calmness and the strong sense of self that he has, I think whether it's on the field or off the field, I think that's what allowed him to achieve what he did. And he shared with me after the game on Tuesday, certainly, yes, it's only natural to feel some pressure, but there was that calmness that comes from the mental approach of knowing that you've put in all the work, that you have the ability. And there's a certain tranquility, Jim, that I think you and I, we've been lucky to talk with great athletes. The great ones, no matter the sport, seem to have the same common thread about trusting their preparation, who they are, all their years that have led up to a moment, and then to be able to just relax and execute in the moment. And I think that it speaks to the magnitude of all that was going on the last couple of weeks and just the challenge of hitting a baseball. And you only get four chances, a little different than if you think about LeBron in his prime and how many minutes he'd be on the court, how many times he'd have the ball in his hands, the control that he could exert in a basketball game. It's simply not that way in baseball. You get four chances, maybe five in a game. And I think it just speaks to how in command of the moment and of his emotions Aaron has been, that he was able to do it. Yes, there's extraordinary talent. We can see that, the way that he worked on his weaknesses. I think that's the other key part. I know my colleague Tom Verducci has talked about this a lot, that whatever small flaws or vulnerabilities existed in his game, it's the mark of a great baseball player, and really, Jim, a great professional in any walk of life. Work on the thing that you're not good at. Don't just work on the thing that makes you great. Work on the things that are your few weaknesses when you're as talented as Aaron is, and that is why he is now the American League record holder and the Yankees record holder at 62.
I think, John, that's an amazing response, an amazing characterization and description. I like that so much. How do you think it plays out, John? For instance, would the Yankees let him walk, considering he is the consummate Yankee and just had one of the greatest single seasons ever, or will they continue to preach fiscal responsibility and have that concern for a player that size, at that age, getting that kind of a long-term deal? How do you think it plays out?
You know, Jim, it's an excellent question. It's one that I think we're all mulling over right now. And I realized that there was some back and forth, whether it was in spring training or comments from either side as the season went along. I just think that both sides will eventually come to the realization that they're better off together than they are apart. And the rules are just a little bit different when you are a certifiable American sports icon. And that's what Aaron Judge is right now. Whatever negotiations took place in spring training, they all happened before 62. 62 changes the game. 62 makes you an all-time Yankee legend who's going to have a plaque in Monument Park, who may well have a plaque in Cooperstown. And when you consider Aaron Judge and the future, the next 10, 20, 30 years of life, let's just reflect, and the scenario has been put out there a lot. How about the Mets? Same city, owner who wants to spend, and I get that. But how complicated does it then become for Aaron Judge if you walk into the other side of town next year and you have to live up to the contract with the Mets every at-bat, and then with the Yankees the embrace in the future is never going to be quite as warm as it was for all these years. That just sounds, I realize there's financial complexities and all this, Jim, but in my sort of Midwestern perspective, that just sounds awfully complicated. Whereas he's going to, I'm sure, get paid enough money to stay where he's at, and he's already, through what he's done, Jim, for years and years and years, endeared himself to the Yankees for all time, to where if he gets off to a slow start next year and it's in New York, he is going to be forgiven for a long time. Whereas if he gets off to a slow start with the Mets or the Giants or whomever else, it's what have you done for me lately? And I just think Aaron is such a smart person about everything on the field, off the field. I think that eventually the numbers will make sense, and he'll also see things that way as well.
The MLB postseason gets underway tomorrow. You can watch John Morosi on MLB Network's coverage throughout. It's going to air live before and after every game. The schedule in its entirety is available at MLB.com/postseason. John, before you go, let me get your thoughts on a few of these storylines. As we get ready for the postseason, you've got the Dodgers, and they're pretty banged up, of course, but they have that legendary depth. Are they the team to beat in your mind?
No. They're not. I think it's the defending World Series champion Braves, at least right now in the National League. The Dodgers, when you think about their rotation, there's no Walker Buehler. Tony Gonsolin is not 100% yet. He didn't really have sharp command in his first start off the injured list this past week, just two innings. I've got a lot of questions about them. Chris Taylor, they believe, is going to come back, and that's huge for them because of what he means to their lineup. I just don't see the same top-to-bottom depth that I saw both pitching and offensively as I did on the World Series championship team 2 years ago. Yes, they've got Freddie Freeman now, and yes, they've got Trey Turner for a full season, and Mookie is still Mookie. I just don't know if after those big three, if it's the same depth of team and if it's the same consistency with respect to pitching. The Braves have really found their stride. I thought there was a time earlier this year, Jim, that the National League East was done, that the Mets were going to win the division. There was no questions asked about it. And then the Braves started playing like the champions that they were last year and are honestly a better team. They've got Acuna now. Obviously, they've lost Freeman, but Olsen has played very well for them. I just like what they're able to do all the way around. Their bullpen is deeper. Their rotation, I think, is very strong. You look at Kyle Wright and the year that he has had. The Braves are the most balanced team right now in the NL and the deepest team, the one that I think is going to win the pennant. And then on the American League side, not to sound unoriginal, but the best team on that side is the same one that was the best team a year ago, and that's Houston. Look at Houston's rotation, Verlander. Remember, Houston, similarly to what I said about Atlanta and Atlanta making it to the World Series and winning it last year without Acuna, the Astros didn't have Verlander. And they got to Game 6 of the World Series. And now they have one of the great pitchers of all time, really, back and potentially winning a Cy Young. Kyle Tucker's made a step. Jim, there's just so much depth right now with the Astros that if things play out according to talent and depth, we're going to have a rematch of last year's World Series.
And so many good storylines. John, really quickly, Shohei agreed to a $30 million deal for next season to avoid arbitration, but since Angels owner Artie Moreno has put the team up for sale, Shohei has publicly stated that he wants to play for the Angels. Where does that leave the player and the team going forward?
Well, Jim, it's an excellent question, and there's a lot to this story. Obviously, to your point, the team being up for sale is something to consider. They just extended their interim manager into a full-time manager, Phil Nevin, for 1 year for 2023. Shohei Ohtani under contract for one more year before free agency. Team is up for sale. So while the Ohtani contract superficially gives everyone some degree of certainty, the reality is he could also be traded this winter. And the one thing that I think is logical as you consider this is two ways of looking at this. Number one, it gives the Angels at least an awareness and everybody involved, if a new owner comes in by the spring, let's say, you don't want your first thing that you have to do as an owner to be, I'm going to go to salary arbitration with one of the greatest players of all time. That's just not a great thing to do as job one. So that eliminates this possibility. I think it also at least would give the Angels and other teams a degree of knowing what the price tag would be if they decide to trade him. I still am a believer, Jim, that this franchise is more valuable with him than without him. But I also think that we're about to find out as we get deeper into the offseason, what does the new owner want? And if the new owner seems to think a rebuild is the best strategy, similarly, I don't think the new owner wants to come in and then trade Shohei Ohtani as the first thing he or she does. So I believe that we have not heard the last of the Ohtani offseason drama. I think, on the contrary, Jim, it is just getting started.
No one like him, an MLB Network insider, NHL Network reporter, NBC Sports contributor, and as I mentioned, the MLB postseason does get underway tomorrow, and you can check out John Morosi on MLB Network's coverage throughout. For that schedule, check out MLB.com/postseason. John, you are the absolute best. Great to have you on. Thank you very much, and have a great time with it.
Jim, you're the greatest, my friend. Always enjoy our conversations. You are the best in the business, and it's a pleasure anytime we have a chance to catch up.
You too, John. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you very, very much. John Morosi. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. Great information. Tremendous delivery and a great conversation to have on the program always. My thanks to him and a pro's pro. If ever there was one, it's John Morosi.